We have to learn about the people. We have to study the people in the room with this mizmor. Okay, we began yesterday mizmor lamid gimel. Okay, so we did only yesterday one pasuk. Ranenu tzadikim hashavot. Maybe try to do some sukkim, then we'll come back if we have time at the end to go review this more in depth. But right now we learned yesterday one pasuk. Ranenu, ranenu lashon of harina. El as Michal pointed, el harina the el hatefila. Harina dircha. Who's your outside? Chur, the eagle, the one who they killed because of the eagle.
Yeah,
he was killed today. Today was the day that he was murdered. Klal Yisrael murdered him. In Yehore Koyin Vinavi.
He came down.
He came down. So it took them a few weeks. The day before Shavuos of Tammuz is when. They murdered him, that's right. And then they built, he protested the making of the Egel. He protested the making of the Egel, because Moshe was late. Right, today is the day when they made the Egel. So instead of talking about the Chur, we should really focus that today, Klal Yisrael made the Egel. Is that true?
No, I don't know. We don't have...
A little confused, you have to go through the dates. Okay, let's go back. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam Shehakol Nehyeh Bidvaroi.
Headline.
See, it's very interesting. Until we learned yesterday's daf, Shehakol Baro Lichvaydoi. So that bracha we learned in daf yesterday is nothing to do with the wedding. Zero. It has to do with a bracha you make in honor of the assembly. The people who have come to this kehillah, to the chasna, to do chesed, to be mesameach chosan v'chala. That's nothing to do with the chasan kala. It is a bracha that is made in honor of the people who have come to the wedding.
In honor of the guests.
The bracha is a bracha in honor of the guests. Therefore, Rashi says, really, the bracha should be said by wedding, seemingly I'm extrapolating, at the smorgasbord. They should put in the invitations on the wedding. The Kabbalah's panim is at 6:30. The Birocha Shakol Baro Lichvaydoi is at 7. And the Chuppah is at 7:30. That's what Rashi says. You should really make the Birocha when the people come. We'll give people a little time to get there on time, traffic, and then we're going to make the Birocha in honor of those who have come on time. In fact, maybe it'll be an incentive to come on time, because we're making the Birocha in honor of you, our guests. But what is the problem? Why, Taco, don't we do that? We do this because if you would do it at that point, you would not be able to make that bracha on a kois shel yayin, because the bracha shakol baru lechavodoy is not in the status of a bracha which demands that it be said while holding a glass of wine. Therefore, in order to upgrade it, that it should be said when one is holding a glass of yayin. So we'll connect it to the blessings that we make in honor of the chosan and kala under the chuppah. We'll wait, we'll delay, a delay until we make the bracha of a yoitzer ha'adam. So then we make... So you lost out on the bracha. That bracha is not on your behalf. That bracha, it's very interesting. The whole new dynamic of that bracha is. So now I first understand why, Rabbi. Eitan Feiner, Harav Hagoin, Harav Eitan Feiner, he always starts to share his shiurim with this very, very elaborate bracha. Baruch atah Hashem Eksa Shehakol Nehyeh Bidvaroi. Shehakol Nehyeh Bidvaroi is very similar to Shehakol Baro Lichvaydoi. And it's not the same, because it's really lichvaydoi in honor of the whole Yavdim. But there's a similarity. So it's interesting, when he makes the bracha, Shakol Niye Bidvaroi, I'm going a little bit too far here, he's making the bracha on behalf of the people,
right,
the oilam that has come to the shir.
Right.
Don't give me credit for the shir. You, the audience, who have come to listen, you deserve the honor. And when he makes a Shakol Nihiyah, everything that was created with his word, it's not exactly the same thing as saying Shehakol, everything was Bara, he created Lichvaydoi, but if you want to darshan, you can probably find a way to connect the two. And now I understand, that's what I don't know if his kavan is, but it's interesting is that there are certain brachas which are for the people, not for the event. Okay, that was a side point. Let's go.
So you should make it mezoinus.
A mezoinus? What is a mezoinus?
Mezoinus is monashak, right?
No. We have to. No. Okay, we're going way off topic. Let's go right there. Okay, next up. That's what I said. I said you're the tzaddikim. You are the yasharim. You come here to the shir. Unbelievable. You come in the heat. You come in the snow. B'beis Hashem nahaleich birogesh. Birogesh is rosh teva. It's borod, ruach, geshem, and shelek. We always say the daf yomi. B'beis Hashem, you come to the shul birogesh. With trepidation. But with trepidation, you can break up into four words. Borod, hail. Resh is ruach, hurricanes. Gimel is geshem. And shin is sheleg. People come to shul in every circumstance, no matter what the situation is, they come to shul. It's the most chashva thing. Someone asked me about a boy in Shidduchim. So I told them, I really know nothing about the boy's family, about much about the boy. All I can tell you is one mile he has, which I think is gold. I'm not there every day, and I'm not there as early as him, but this fellow, for a few years that I've seen, every single day, believe, yoytze min haklal, he's a davening, and he davenes like a mensch, and from the best I understand, because I'm not there to see it, he's there probably every morning, 6:30 learning. 6:30, he's there learning Bahasmada Rabba, and then he davens, a beautiful davening. I'm Amish Makan him, because I sit Amish one table over him, and I it always grates my nerves. How come I can't be like that? How come I can't get up so early and be so disciplined and like this guy? And I know nothing else about him. And this guy, he's been doing this already for years. I don't know how many years, like I know him, it's probably like already 4 years he's been doing this. Like, doesn't that say a lot about a person? Like it's worthy to definitely check into this guy a lot more, because there's a tremendous smile to be consistent and persevere in you know, someone I know, he works with, so he tries to give them advice, and he says, most people that he knows, that he deals with, he tells them to do an exercise seven whole week, for 1 week, for 7 days in a row. Simple little things as part of like a training. He says most of his people that he deals with, his clients, cannot even do something 7 days in a row. Something which takes them 5 minutes to do. If every day for 5 minutes, I want you to do this. 5 minutes, just do this exercise. For 5 minutes for the next 7 days. They come back a week later. Did you do it every single day? You know, I did it the first day, the third day, and I forgot about it. Most people can't even do the same thing for seven days. The person comes to daven, comes to learn every single day. It's unbelievable. Let's go pasuk base. Hoydu la Hashem b'chinor. Okay, give thanks to Hashem with a chinor, b'nevel. With a navel and osor. What is osor? Osor is the name of a musical instrument, zamrulot. So give thanks to Hashem, kamo, benevel, bechinor, benevel, osor. Now is the word osor a modification of the word navel, or is the word osor, as I just told you, a independent musical instrument? With these, let's assume for the moment there are three different musical instruments. Zamerulo, sing to Hashem. Let's see the mitzvah stuff on page 282. There is none. We did that already. Let's turn to page to the next page. The next is on page 284, and there's nothing here either. Look at that. We have to get a refund. There's no mitzvah stuff on this pass. Let's see. Let's see Rashi. Rashi binevel osar. From the dibur hamaschil of Rashi, there's an indication that it's one, not like I told you. If I'm not mistaken, there's another other mefarshim here that maybe I saw, I scanned somewhere. I don't remember, I'm getting losing track. Well, we'll see the chazal in a moment. But according to what Rashi says, the Rashi is dibur hamaschil, that the navel and the word osar are part of the same team. The word osar is a description. It is an adjective. The navel is the noun, and the osar is the description of the noun, which is an adjective, it's a navel that has 10 strings. Shel asara minei. No, I didn't say strings. I take that back. It's not tight. Asara minei ni'ima. 10 different forms of pleasantness. It does not say here
melodies.
It does not say here strings. So this is not a string instrument. Okay, we have all the percussion.
Well, we don't know. They could be. Well,
we don't.
Okay.
We'll see. Okay. See, Rashi does not. Now, these musicals with Morning of Kalman. These instruments. Once upon a time, I read. You know, they sell it in the bookstores in the Sfarim stores. Some very beautiful Sfarim where people claim to know exactly what every musical instrument is, and they have pictures, and they have descriptions, and people who are very musical and knowledgeable of all. I know nothing about this. This is chaval. I know nothing about this. It's very sad. I think the Gros says that if you don't know music, you'll never become a Talmud Chacham. There's no way you can master Torah without having a full comprehension of the art of music, the rules of music. I got an A, I think, in music in college, Brooklyn College. It was torture.
You showed up?
Yes, of course I showed up. It was actually very. I took it in the summer. It was actually very. I really liked that class. It was a very good class. We had a female professor. She was very, very good. I don't know. This is 100 years ago. It was before you were born. What?
And she played the harp.
It was a core course. It was very good. Very, very good. I really liked it.
The Mitzvah calls it a 10-string liar.
A liar. What is a liar?
It's like a
shakram.
It's like a harp.
You have
a harp? Oh, that's a string instrument.
Yeah, right.
Oh, so he doesn't say that. He says, mine ni'ima. Mine, what does ni'ima mean? Okay, so you know, you can need help with it. There are string instruments. There are wind instruments. What's the other one? The percussion instruments. Which, what's percussion? You bang, right?
Yeah.
Bang, like drums. What's the word percussion mean?
Percussion.
What does
bang.
That mean?
Percussion means
it's the bang, press, percussion. String, wind, anything else I'm missing?
String.
Only three? String. I said string, wood. Wind, wind, the flute.
Wind
the handilval, the handil
brass. Brass, that's the other thing.
What's brass? What is that?
Brass is the
but that's a wind. That's
no,
wind.
No, a wind instrument is something else. The flute is a wind instrument. Brass is a trumpet, a trombone.
I don't think they had those, though.
But why isn't that called wind?
That's what it's called, brass.
That's wind.
Is that a different category?
Yeah, you have your brass section and your wind section.
Right.
So wind is a complete... I thought anything that you blow is automatically wind.
It is.
You're saying brass is a bazundra category?
Dress,
the subset. Okay, those are three things. Wind, string, percussion. Four, brass? Okay, fine. Okay, four. So here, the first thing you ask when you come across a musical instrument, Meir is a Levi, what did you do in the Mikdash? Did you sing? You're from the Shoyarim. Yeah, the Shoyarim. And there are the Shoyarim, the singers. The singers. There are the gatekeepers. The Levim did three functions: gatekeepers, and those who sang, and those who played musical instruments. The big pella on the Soloveitchik family is they're not singers; they can't sing. They don't sing zmiros; they zog zmiros. but you're Levim, and the Levim were the singers. They were the musicians, the singers. What happened? How could it be that the Soloveitchik family, they're not exactly known to be from the singers? So whatever, there are three different categories of what Levine did, and one of them is they played musical instruments. And throughout Tanakh, scattered throughout Tanakh, we come in contact with different types of musical instruments. Ablaze, you saying something? Yes.
Soloveitchik is a Russian born.
The nightingale.
Which sings very nice.
A bird.
Yes.
The bird that sings very nice. It's called a nightingale. A bird,
yes.
A tzipor. Ace has zomir higia.
So it's a misnomer.
When my cousin, Rav Meir Yaakov Soloveitchik, Rav Doctor, Rav Meir Yaakov Soloveitchik got married, so the girl that he married, the motif of the wedding and the wedding invitation was Eis HaZomir Higia. The time of song has arrived, because Soloveitchik is a nightingale, if I'm saying that correctly, a bird that sings very nice. So on the invitation to the wedding, it said, isn't that very creative? Eis HaZomir Higia. The time of song has arrived. Her chosan, the chatan.
Well, his father-in-law had a
good voice. Klein.
Yeah.
Klein.
His father-in-law was a good
about
feeling.
I'm sure he still is. Wow. He's alive, Baruch Hashem.
He's very herby.
Okay, so therefore you'll come across the word different musical instruments scattered throughout Tanakh, all over the place. And I have a very nice sefer at home on the Mishkan. The primary part of it is on the Mishkan. And the back of the sefer, there's a section on musical instruments. And they have pictures. And they collect all the psukim in Tanakh, and they show you what each musical instrument is and looks like. And come on, really? Really, how could you possibly know what the musical instruments are? Okay, so maybe they do it. People who have this, because it appears from people who have done the research, like when everything is said and done, like everything is machloikis, and there are some even basic questions, the most basic question. Is this instrument a string instrument or is it a wind instrument? It is a percussion instrument. Everyone seems to agree that's percussion, a type of drum. It says that the kinor of David, it says Befereshim Chazal, that the wind, that's the problem. That's the suspect. Everyone, the harp of David, you show by a Tehillim, illustrated Tehillim. And what are they going to show? They're going to show the shepherd playing a harp, right? You go to a fancy wedding, there's a guy in the lobby playing a harp. Ah, David HaMelech. Whoever said the kinor is a harp, what we call a harp. Chazal say that in the middle of the night, Chatzos Laila, a wind came, a wind blew, and it caused the musical instrument that David possessed to play on its own. Now, if you're going to tell me that it's a wind, the whole thing of the Bechlal is anyway, you know, a mystery, all of a sudden a wind comes in the middle of the night.
It's a strong wind and it moves the string.
Yeah, but what's so interesting is, there are wind instruments, right? That's a category that we refer to. And if you're telling us that a wind is coming in the middle of the night.
That's not what a wind instrument is. Right. A wind instrument is something you blow into.
Right.
What do you blow? Wind. You blow wind. You blow wind.
This is like chimes.
Strings are very hard. When wind blows, you got to move. There's movement. There's a very big difference between if Chazal say that in the middle of the night, Chatzos Laila, a wind came and blew, and that caused the musical instrument to produce a melody. If you never saw, we were never brainwashed with the image of a harp, David, the shepherd, playing a harp, what would you think you were referring to? The whole chazal is a very bizarre chazal, because you can take any wind or string instrument today and put it in the middle of a hurricane, a tornado, and guess what? It's not going to play music. Correct? Take any wind instrument or any string instrument that you can find in this world and put it in the middle of a field, in a place where there are strong 100-mile-per-hour winds, and listen, you're not going to hear any melody come from the wind. So obviously we're dealing with something that's supernatural, we're dealing with something which is unique, fine. Now, and what does it say? It says a wind came. Now, if we do know that there are things called wind instruments, that you blow wind and it causes the melody to sound, wouldn't it appear on a very simple level that the kinor is not a harp, it is not a string instrument, it is a wind instrument? Because if Chazal are using the word ruach in reference to the playing of this instrument, the string instrument, you don't need ruach, you need someone to physically move the strings. in a certain pattern. So you're going to say, no, the wind went and moved the strings. Obviously, that's what everyone assumes. That's what we've been taught. Is that really correct? Maybe it is. Maybe there's a chiddush in and of itself teaching you that there's a combination of wind and string. Is there such a thing?
We don't know what the harp looked like 2,000 years ago. It could have been loose strings that the wind would have been.
Okay. That's what we're assuming. That's what we've been taught. That's what it probably says in the footnote in the art scroll. Because because since we've already come in with a predisposition, we enter into the Chazal with a predisposition of being brainwashed that David HaMelech, he played the harp. And by the way, where does it ever say that? He played the harp. Where does it ever say that? It says it somewhere. The David HaMelech.
Well, they use the word liar is something you're holding in your hand.
Yes, but all these things are someone long ago has made very great assumptions and has succeeded in convincing the masses that we know the translation for these words. Nesher. It says in the art school translation, the Nesher is an eagle. That is, an eagle go to the zoo, and I'll show you what an eagle is, and it's basically impossible that the Nesher is an eagle. Because the Nesher has four simonim of a being non-kosher, and the Nesher that we have today doesn't have the most basic
with scientifically it comes out to be a hawk.
A vulture.
Yeah,
a vulture.
That's a form of.
Okay, and even that is not a partial what that means. So just because we have an art school knows this, and they'll tell it to you in the footnotes, yet they'll tell you is, listen, for the last 1,000 years, it has been the custom of the Jewish people to translate the word Nesher as eagle. So we're not over here going to go rock the boat. Is it the American eagle? Is it the eagle that we're familiar with? No way, impossible. But listen, we all know that there are certain words, whatever, just in order for us to comprehend what it is, what exactly is the real Nesher. That's so simple. We think it's a vulture, whatever it is, all these things. The Re'eim. What is the Re'eim? Rabbi Nosson Silifkin. That's a very beautiful article. A very thorough analysis. What exactly is the creature called the Re'eim? Okay, and he comes out lemaskana that it's a giraffe. That's his personal conclusion. He makes. What?
Those are larger animals. It's a llama.
It's a farm.
What's that?
The rabbit.
Yeah.
The rabbit?
Nevis is a camel.
Not according to Rabbi.
200 camels are Nevis.
He makes a very strong push.
Lubin.
The Re'eim.
Specific rabbis who got involved. Rabbit. People. Yeah, rabbis. Rabbi Pressworsky, Fator Vidas graduate. He said, our Nevis is a 200 camel. That's from the word oral. Arnevis, from the word oral. He did it with a lot of scientists in investigating the whole.
And
root of all the words.
He's
Shovon is a llama.
Rabbi Nosson Silifkin is one of the big experts in this.
A llama is not kosher. It's not
a llama. Okay, so. Okay, so my point is the same way. It's very well accepted when it comes to animals. We don't really know. This is much, much more popular when it comes to animals. We don't really know what they are. We guess and we make assumptions and whatever you have to, for the sake of simplicity, we dwell upon one animal that you have to teach children, you have to learn yourself, you have to settle on something with the acknowledgement that, you know, there are a lot of questions. Al achas kama v'kama. When it comes to musical instruments that are mentioned in Tanakh, we really don't know what these things are.
Right.
We really don't know. We make assumptions. So here we have this thing called a navel, lyre, which translates as a lyre, a string instrument. And it says here, osod, that's 10, osod, I would think 10 mesorim, 10 strings, chavolim, mesorim, the different terms. Oh, we'll get to that in one moment. But I want to point out that Rashi was very clever. Rashi did not say the word, did not tell us anything about this musical instrument. The only thing that he told us was he told us a chiddush in the Dibur HaMaskil. Rashi was from the very first people in history, in world history, that made use of a thing called the Dibur HaMaskil. Before you take a chunk of the text and you quote it, And over here today in the art school, they put it in bold. with a period, and some, and they used even a different font. Art scroll, really, and not only art scroll, many of the printers have really, they've really taken the Dibur. Remember the olden days when you go and learn Gemara? Yeah, the Dibur HaMaschil is exactly the same, no change in font. None, everything's the same, and they put a dot. There's a dot after the Dibur HaMaschil. Today, there's probably no Gemara in the world where the Dibur HaMaschil is highlighted in bold or in a different font. So what is that? Just a point of reference, right? That's not the commentary. Just get rid of all the Dibur HaMaschils. You'll save a lot of ink. No. In the Dibur HaMaschil itself, there are hidden gems. Hidden gems. And here is a hidden gem. Because here, who says that the navel and the osar, I believe I saw this somewhere, is one instrument. Some of the commentators learn that the navel is one instrument, and there is a separate instrument called the osar. The zehu. It's not an adjective. It is a noun. It is the name of...
Where you have
alei osar, alei novel. Right. Alei osar. Va'alei novol, exactly. Alei osar, va'alei novol. Upon the osar, that's one instrument, va'alei novol. Rashi in the Dibur HaMaschil is machadesh, that at least in this pasuk, it's one instrument. It is a navel, and it's a modified navel. A navel that has 10 strings. Okay, 10 strings. Zarmulo. So that's Rashi, and Rashi is very clever.
The Targum says the same thing.
Benivlo? Oh, he says the word nimin. Nimin means chords, strings. So over here you see a machloikis in the Targum and Rashi. Rashi could have said nimin. That's not, he could have said meisorim, nimin, chavod. They're all different words to use for these things. And Rashi was very clever. He did not want to go there. Rashi seems to be saying, who says that this is a string instrument? Who? Mehechateisa. Maybe this is a wind instrument. Maybe this is something that we're not familiar with. Rashi says, Nine ni'ima, forms of pleasantness. How do you produce this pleasantness? I don't know, doesn't say. Targum says, I know. I don't have any doubt in my mind. This is a string instrument. There's a string instrument that has 7 chords. There's a string instrument that has 8 chords. And there is a string instrument that has 10 chords. And the sophistication of the music grows exponentially with each additional chord. Like, you know, I was once blown away by Rabbi Moshe Wolfson. He should be good and well. He should be healthy. He should be gesund and stark. And he has a beautiful, beautiful piece in Emunas, in one of his sefarim called Emunas Itecha. When I saw this many, many years ago, I was told, like, wow, I was blown away. And he, I guess he's a musician. He must know a lot about music. And he talks about the piano, and he talks a little bit about the history of the piano. I'm sure you go online, and they'll have you know, today go buy all these, like, millions of dollars, these grand, what are they called, baby grand, all whatever these old. I'm not familiar with all the nuschois and the different types, different companies and the history, but a piano has 7 keys. You ever watched The Sound of Music? Do, re, ni, fa, sol, la, ti. Okay, there are 7. Do, re, ni, fa, sol, la, ti. Right? There are 7. There are 7.
Basic.
7 sounds. 7 basic sounds. And then there are the half notes. The black keys. There are the white keys. There are the white keys. And there are 4. How many? There are 4? 4. No. 4. How many black keys?
5.
5 black keys per 7, per 7 white keys. And those black keys all produce this depressing sound. There's a certain degree of tsar, pain, in the black keys. And there must be some experts in music and
major
chord. The major is the white?
Yeah,
and the minor is the black. There are certainly melodies, I'm sure there are melodies that you only use the white keys, the major.
The Jewish melodies are a lot of minor
keys. Most professional music is a mixture. There's a mixture of the major and the minor. If you were to compose a melody only, this is what Wolfson says. You'll tell me if it's true. I know nothing. I'm just repeating words what he says. I know nothing about music. If you play a melody using the seven major keys, only the white keys, it's pleasant. It has an upbeat sound. If you would play a melody, and there are certainly melodies that have been composed specifically to only play the minor keys, it's like going to a funeral.
Right.
It has a very dark,
blues. Jewish melodies are a lot of minor keys.
But that's only Western music. There are all kinds of schemes.
No, so he says it's Jewish concept. He reads this Jewish concept. It says in the pasuk, "B'chi shorois." Okay, I don't remember what the pasuk is in this moment. We sing to Hashem. B'chi shor, b'chi with music. So he explains the word b'chi shorois is a composite of two words, b'chi and shiros. There's a word in Tanakh, b'chi shorois. Okay, b'chi shorois. Maybe you want to go look what the pasuk is on the computer. B'chi shorois. You sing to Hashem with b'chi shorois, and this word b'chi shorois is a composite of b'chi and shirois. And that's basically, the piano is an example of this principle, where music, the most common music, has a ta'aruvus of joy and sadness. Every melody, there's no such thing in this world as pure joy. In joy, there's always a flavor of sadness. Because when everyone is happy, how could I be happy? This person died. That person died. I have this problem. This one's not here. This one can't fully enjoy. This one is sick. Every joy in life, or I came to this simcha today only through very great sacrifice. Was the sacrifice really worth it? There's no such thing in this world as pure joy. Every expression of shirois has a blend of bechi. Everything is like that. And therefore, being that there is this blend of these, that's why on a piano there are the white keys and the black keys. It says La'asa Lava, there's a post that says it's going to be a new arrangement, a new piano, basically. A new arrangement of keys, and they're only going to be white keys, and they're going to be eight. It's going to be a new system, and no black keys, no minors, only majors, and it's going to be expanded by one to eight, and that completely changes the dynamics, and it demands all of the music we have today to be either bottle or has to be completely reconfigured, recomposed.
But the music we have today is American Western.
We don't have real music today.
The Sephardic Chazanim are atonal. The music is very, very different than that.
Very strange. The music is very strange.
Like not melodic at all.
There was somehow, many years ago, I remember reading this, they were somehow able, I don't remember, go look this up online, they were somehow able to discover in writing, like same with you can record musical notes, they had like a record of music to decipher some type of ancient melody from who knows, 2,000 years ago, maybe even more, they were somehow able to recompose the melody, and they played it. And I don't know what they were playing. It didn't sound like music to me. It sounded like some type of, I don't know. It appears today that there's no music. I don't know about you. You go to a wedding today. I don't know what in the world they're playing. I went to a wedding this week. It was a very beautiful wedding. In the beginning, they played classic, you know, the classic music. And then I would say, halfway through the wedding, they started this music. I don't know what in the world they were playing for forever. To me, it's just pure noise. pure unadulterated noise. There's no rhythm. There's no. There's, why? What is this? What's going on over here? It's a different world. You're going to tell me this is music? No way. You can't convince me. And even the music that's traditional to us, I am certain that this is a tipa shebiyam of the true chokhma of Beethoven. You go listen to some of the classical music. There's incredible chokhma. You cannot deny that some of the music, you go back centuries ago, are on a different level. They're like, they're like beyond, above and beyond. And like, okay. And a lot of that stuff is all, like Chaimlin Masiv and Chaimlin, they play in Purim, they play these old marches, Napoleon marches. Well, yeah, these are all come on. I think most of the Nigunim they play in Chaimlin and Masiba are non-Jewish Nigunim. They're totally non-Jewish. Someone showed me a Russian orchestra, massive Russian orchestra playing the melody. You gotta go, it's like unbelievable to watch. Like this is the melody they play the Chaimlin for over an hour. Bum, ba-da-dum, ba-da-dum, bum, 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 these waltzes. This is Goyish music. This is non-Jewish music. Billy Joel.
That's probably what they said at the time.
So, and
we sing for Elena when I don't know
long. That's right. There are a lot of melodies that have been added to Davening people don't even know are non-Jewish melodies. Somehow they got in. They're in. They got it. Sometimes, and then when someone makes a new melody and then they discover, oh, this is a Goyish melody. Yidden. Everyone remember the big controversy. They don't play that anymore. You never hear them play that anymore. Yidden. They used to play that to no end. Yidden. Remember that again? So then the internet came out. When the internet began to be unleashed on mankind, they pulled up the German rock and roll Prost, Goyim, Prietzus. It's a real rock and roll song, and you watch, this is where it comes from. It's a
right.
Total...
Okay,
Enochinami. Obviously, that's the fact, because there are a very large selection of melodies that are considered by the Jewish people sacred, that have originated by non-Jewish sources. Obviously. Okay, but so why is Yidden any different? Okay, I don't know.
Kol Nidre,
I don't know.
I want to mention something.
Where does Kol Nidre come from? They say Olay, they say the tradition. Rav Kalman is a Baal Musaf. Tell us, Rav Kalman.
Yeah.
Let us hear.
I want to mention something here. Odu Lashem Bechino.
Yeah.
There is a food in Eretz Israel. They call it Kinneret, and they say that they call it in this name because in the middle of the night you feel like the wind comes and it plays on the waves, and there's some kind of music comes out, very soft music. That's why they call it Kinneret.
You hear what he's saying? The Kinneret. The wind that blows, fascinating. The reason why the Kinneret, unbelievable. It's Kedai to come just for this. The reason why the Kinneret, this body of water, is called the Kinneret, is Miloshim Kinor, like a musical instrument, because the wind that blows in the middle of the night causes music. So therefore that gives a whole loop shot to Dovra Melech in the middle of the night, Hashem, the alarm clock. Hashem woke him up in the Kinor Hayil David, and the wind blew. The Kinneret, is that the Kinor of David? Is the Kinneret, the body of water, the Kinneret of David? It's a whole new pshat, a whole new mahalich. All right, let's look at the Malbim. Let's look at the Malbim. The Malbim here says, Ramu Benim Asul Zamla with the navel of 10. But there's eight strings. There's seven. Today we have seven. La Asulav is going to be eight. And then this pasuk tells us about the musical of 10. What?
The Shminis.
Lanatzeach, we learned that mizmar. Lanatzeach al hashminis mizmar le David. the musical instrument which has 8 chords. And this one is another instrument which has 10 chords. What about the one that has 9? What happened to the 9? Tisha Miyodea. What happened to number 9? Who's the musical instrument? That's the baby that comes out of the mother's womb after 9 months. When there's no music that is more beautiful than the sound of an infant crying when it comes out of its mother's womb. That is the ultimate beautiful music, a healthy child. If a baby doesn't cry when it comes out of the mother's womb, you're in a lot of trouble. Rahman al-Islam. The sound of a cry that comes out of the mother's womb, Tisha Miyodea, Tisha Aniyodea, Tisha Yarcheleda, the music of that child, that music is the ultimate music. There's the music of 7 today, there's the Shminis, and then there's the Osor, and in between is the Tisha. Let's see the Malbum. Malbum, Pasik, let's see this Malbum, Pasik Beis. The Malbum begins here. Okay, let's go very quickly to the Malbum. I'm going to go very fast. Page 283. Hodu Pisuke Hamamorim Ha'ilem Misudodim Zem Ze Mul Ze Bits Lois Makbilois. Corresponding stanzas. Okay, the word bits means ribs. You have a rib. Tsela, Hashem took a tsela. The ribs, they are parallel. There's the parallelism. So we have over here the word tsilois means that we have expressions. I don't know all these fancy terms in poetry. There are stanzas, there are sections, and they correspond one to the other. We go back and forth. Aleph. Sheyodu Hashem al hahanhoga hativ is. Okay, this is going back to what we learned before. Number one, we're going to first describe, there's going to be a rhythm here, of science. Hasidura Mishesh Mebreshis, Choik Nosan Vlo Yavar, Vitsiva Sheyodu Hashem al Zeh, you shall thank Hashem for science. Thank Hashem for science. Al Zeh Bichinor, Vizamru Givuroisa, Benevolo Sosha, Akinor, who Tsiyun shall erech oilomois. Then there's going to be, I guess, the corresponding is going to be the HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hanhogah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's participation in this world, which is outside the rules of science. It doesn't mean miracles necessarily, Lamala Miderechat, that's what we spent the whole day on yesterday. It just means that it's outside the framework of science, but it doesn't necessarily violate science. And we learned yesterday, it's a very important insight. 3 Hanhogahs in the world. Science, then there is lemala mederech hateva, break the rules of science, and then there is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence, a hanhaga, that doesn't break the rules of science, but it's not science. It's a different dimension. Hashem is there controlling the shots, guarding this world, and he's not violating the rules of science. Let's see, but it's v'neil v'chinar. Shakinar hu tziyun is a description. Shall erech ha'olamos, the arrangement of the world, the arrangement of the world ha'olamos. Zayin alam elam. What does that mean? Anyone know what that means? I don't know what that word means. Shall erech ha'olamos ze l'umazeh. Okay, ze l'umazeh. The worlds. There are a lot of worlds out there. What is it referring to? Which world is it referring to? Olam haba, olam hazeh. They refer to the different planets, the different galaxies, different. Who knows? They're all arranged according to the laws of music. Saying really heavy duty stuff here. Bron Yachar Kechve Boiker. Music. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you look into the sky and you see the rotation, you see how the earth goes around the sun.
Every sphere has a different music.
The interaction of the speed, like you know, every so often you hear in the news, oh, tonight there are going to be 3 planets lining up. They're lining up. Go take out your telescope.
One of the theories is they listen to the music, the sound of the
planets.
The sound of space. And they
right. There's music. There's a very sophisticated arrangement. I know I go to a shir Thursday night or a Schmidman shul. So he learned these very, very esoteric topics. Like really way out stuff. I don't understand 99% of what he's saying, of what he's learning. And about a year ago, he was learning, he had a topic about the mazolos about the stars, the moon, the certain inyan about the mazolos. And he was really heavily steeped in this, and in understanding what the Zohar was saying in the Zohar esoteric svarim. And he asked me to help him to go online with him to get certain professors. They're like mamish yichidim in the world, goyish non-Jewish professors that are experts in certain matters relating to the movement of the heavenly bodies. And he was trying to very deep. And I was watching with him this video from this professor from Kalamazoo somewhere. It was extremely boring. I don't understand a word he was saying, but he was like, it's like unbelievable. Like what he's saying over here, the chidush, like this is stuff like you know, the average person doesn't even know about. And he was able to connect what this professor, which is a yochid b'minoi, who is a world-renowned expert in certain understanding of the heavenly bodies and their movements and their core, how Imamish says this in the Zohar. And like these are very esoteric topics. So this is exactly what he's saying over here, something just like this over here. Biron, there's music going on in the world. The heavenly bodies are coordinating and they're moving around in the most sophisticated way. And if you appreciate what's going on, they're playing music.
They're dancing.
They're dancing or they're playing. You dance to music. You have to, the dancing and the music have to be, choreographed.
Well, sound in outer space, there is sound.
Well, anything that moves makes sound. Anything that moves makes sound. You have a hard drive, it spins, so it makes sound. Anything that moves makes sound.
Friction.
Any moving thing in this world makes sound. That is a reality. So if the earth is moving around the sun, and the moon is moving around the earth, and there are other planets that are moving around the sun, and we're coming in contact, and we're making a sound, and this is making a sound, and there's a conflict between the sounds, and the sounds are clashing, that makes a different type of sound. When two sounds clash, I don't know how all this works, but there's a lot of sophistication going on. So if every moving thing makes a sound, and the whole world is moving, and there are a billion different situations, there's a lot of music taking place. Biron Yachlechli Boiker, Vayoriu Kol Bnei Elokim. And this refers to the Malach and the angels, they also sing. They would sing with a navel of Osar, Al Tsiyun Hal Galgalim, Shehem Asara, on the signal of the Galgalim of the heavenly bodies, Shehem Asara, there are 10, with Tuchuna Sakadmoy. This is heavy, spooky stuff. Is how many planets are there? How many heavenly bodies are there? So we today have the Hubble telescope. We know today.
What? The new telescope.
Yeah, better than the Hubble telescope?
Yeah.
Is the Hubble still in operation?
Probably. Yeah.
The Hubble was only supposed to last a few months. And it's already been there probably for almost 20 years already. This is the most successful project NASA ever did in their history and ever will. The success with the Hubble telescope, you can write an encyclopedia on the mind-boggling success that no one ever imagined it would bring to this world. Incredible things beyond their wildest belief.
I thought I saw a headline that the Israelis discovered two new planets.
Could be.
Another galaxy, right?
What?
Another galaxy, right?
Don't realize that there are many galaxies in this room.
They show the news, the new telescope, and you see that it looks like a star. When you get closer, you realize it's a whole galaxy by itself. Not just
a star.
The whole galaxy.
Sounds like some science fiction movie, this world. Yeah. One thing I can tell you, with all the complexity out there, Mayor Appledorf is much more complex.
And he's out of this world, too.
The old joke is, when you will understand the reason why pizza is round, and it's sliced into triangles, and put into a square box, to first begin to understand the way the mind of a woman works.
I never understood what he called gematria. Gematria is geometry. Geometry is not numbers. Geometry is shapes.
Right.
So why do you call it gematria when you're doing
it? Who says that geometry is called gematria? Who is it called gematria?
Because that's the way they translate the gematria and geometry.
Cool. Oh, okay. I don't know. So, yeah, okay. Alright, let's just do a little bit of the, let's do a little bit more of the Malbum. The Malbum, I lost the place over here. What happened to me? One moment. Where was the Kinar? The Kinar in the Malbum, Shulo Shir Chadosh. I thought we had a Malbum over here to discuss this. No, maybe it was the Radak. Who's the one that said we had a Malbum discussing the nature of the Kinar? The naval assault. In the Bar Milos. So look at the Bar Milos. Bar Milos. B'nevel Asar, okay, on page 284. B'nevel Asar, Nevel Asher Loy Asara Yisarim. 10 chords. V'yamar Ale Asar V'ale Novel. And we said, well, Nevel Asar V'nevel Stom. Okay, so what it says, he's saying a very important Yisite. You have this in many other examples. When you have contrast, when you want to make contrast, then you leave out the first word. There's a stam navel, and then there's a navel that has a sar. Two different types of instruments called navel. Okay, let's go to the next passage. Pasuk gimel. Shiru loy shir chadosh. Sing to Hashem a shir chadosh heitivu nagain bishua. Nagain means to make music. Heitivu, do a good job. Do chizuk, heitivu. I'm instructing. David is giving instructions. Don't just play. Give it your best. Give it your best with siruwa, with shouts of joy. Mitsudoi David, heitivu. So I told you a different shot. He learns shiru b'nigun toiv v'yofer b'kol tiruwa. So I told you the word heitivu is the subject of heitivu. Here's the dilemma. Is it going on the person? That the person that sings, he should apply himself. Do a good job. Don't be sloppy. Concentrate. Perform well. There's a committee. There are people giving grades. Right? What are they called by the Olympics? The people give you the
medals.
Remember, what is that committee called?
Oh.
The judges.
Yeah.
The judges who decide.
Score.
Who decide what grade you get.
Score.
Sorry?
The score that you get.
The score. The judges who give you the score. So there are judges that are listening, are watching. So therefore, I instruct you, practice is the subject of the word heitivu, referring to the person performing. He's being told, do a good job. Do a good job. Take a cup of coffee before you start. Take some steroids. Don't get caught. No, just joking. Just joking. Okay, just joking. Make sure before you begin to do your performance, you practice. Or is the word heitivu referring to, listen, you're going to do a performance. There are many melodies. We have a melody book. Use a melody that's popular. That people like. Don't sing nigunim that no one ever heard of. People who are Balei Tefillah will tell you, don't sing an exotic melody to Kedusha that no one ever heard of, because no one's going to sing along with you. You have to use things that people know and are popular and will serve the purpose. You have to have this balance of, don't do anything extreme. Take a melody that you know works. A melody that's nature is good. So what is the subject of heitivu? Is it the person, do a good job? Or is it you have in front of you a selection of multiple melodies. Select the good one. The one that's popular. The one that's fitting for the occasion. So according to the Mitzvah Stavit, Shiru Lo Shir Chadash, sing to Hashem a new song, heitivu nagein bishrua, the nigun, the nigun of the shir, okay, the nigun I guess means the melodies. What is the shir? Is the shir the words, the lyrics? It's a very sophisticated pasuk. What does pasuk means here? A melody, a song, has lyrics and has a melody. Okay, you buy a new release from an artist. Never heard of that. When I was a kid, whoever heard the word artist? Mordechai Ben David. You buy a tape. Mordechai Ben David. You get a little older. Mordechai Ben David is an artist. I always thought an artist is a paintbrush. You sit and you draw things. No, there is the melody and there are the lyrics. And the melody and the lyrics have to come together. In this pasuk, it appears there are three. There's the shir, there is the nigun, and there is the teruah. What's the teruah? What other part of music is there besides the lyrics, the melody? It's the way you sing it. The notes, do you sing it on a high, you sing it on a low?
Emotion.
The emotion, and you want to say the emotion that goes into the way you express yourself, your tone, your inflection, okay, the inflection, how you space it out. So I'm suggesting here that in the context of this pasuk, according to only the Mitzvot David, or maybe even not even, being that there are three words, and the three words are juxtaposed, it forces us to take a song and to break it into its smaller parts, like a briska, the brisk methodology. Break up something into its parts. We have a song. A song has words, lyrics. The song has a melody. And then there is a performance. The way, the inflection of which words you give more emphasis, which words, how you space it out, how loud when you raise your voice, when you lower your voice, all of these things come together to produce a masterpiece. And that's the artist. The artist knows how to take all of the components and bring them together to produce something pleasant and appealing to the listener. There is the shir. Why do I want to say the shir are the lyrics? Because what does it say about the Torah? The atah, and now, with an ayin or an aleph, what does it say, the atah? I forgot. The atah kisvu lechem es hashir hazois. Ayin or aleph?
One.
The atah kisvu lechem es hashir hazois. Ayin. Now, the atah now, kisvu lechem. Write down es hashiro hazois.
Moshe didn't expect this to be part of the Torah. God said, now I want you to write it.
So why is the Torah called a shira? A shira, in our understanding, means a kumzitz. Ani ma'amin. Torah is called
a... There's a lot written about it.
Oh, a shira, you see here in this pasuk, is not the melody. That's not the nigun. It's the words. The words, a song is broken into three parts. The words, which we call the lyrics, the melody, and the way you express it, the way you perform it.
Was Oz Yoshir recited or sung?
That's part of the big question. So a Litvak will tell you that the reason they said it, but it's leitzanua, the Noshim should make noise. So they banged on the toif. No one should hear.
There's always an answer.
There's always an answer. There's always an answer. There's always an answer. And if it'll be more open, you'll say, no, the Torah, it was a song, and it added, you know, there's always a mahalach, azoy, and azoy.
The old story with Reuven Feinstein, it's not an old story, but when they asked him if he remembers if his sister sang Smiris at the table Friday night,
of course
he said he doesn't remember because he was the youngest, and they asked him 6 months later again, they want to write it up. He said, I told you I didn't remember, and I'm telling you, I will never remember.
In other words, the answer is yes. In other words, the answer he told you is yes, they did. Yes, they did. They certainly did. Okay. Therefore, it says here the word shiru juxtaposed to the word nagain. Nagain is the melody. So what then does the word shiru mean? It means the lyrics. The Torah is text. It's a stream of text. That's why the Torah is called Kislachem Es HaShira HaZois. The Torah is the lyrics. And you have to sing it. You have to apply a melody. and there has to be done with a teruah, with passion. So this pasuk is a very telling pasuk in the more precise meaning of the word shir. One with the bottom, should we back to the mitzvah stuff? The mitzvah is David. When I lost the place over here.
By the way, I would like to say something about the Torah here.
Yeah.
It says in the Torah, "Baharei otem b'chatzotzot v'nizkartem b'fnei Hashem Elokechem." The singing here is to lead to the next pasuk. So when you have Torah, it means given again in order to affect your heart that you should hear, that you should hear like Torah, that Torah. Shakadosh Baruch Hu.
Very good.
To bring you to bring you
higher.
It's not only a demon again. Oh, well, play music, beautiful music. But it should really move the people.
Very good.
Here we go into Hashem again.
Okay, we're going to stop over here, but it's time to take a short break. We'll do some Kiddush in a few moments.
What's the yard side of Moshe
Manta Fury? Moshe Manta Fury is yard side. Zuchus Yogin Aleinu. So what happened to Tamari? She's on strike? Mayor, where's Tamari?
She went to day ahead.
All right, that's good. That's good.
Reality. It's reality. There's so much written about that whole idea.
Where's Rabbar?
He's in Eretz Yisrael.
Oh, that's
for a month. I told you. Yeah. He's going went there for a month. What? He's busy. He's busy in Eretz Yisrael.
Which is the
people before they leave this world.
I want to tell you something. One of my daughters-in-law knows so much. She frightens me, but she really learned. My eldest girl's wife does the meeting where they put on. My eldest girl, I see him after see him with his mother. And they added yeshiva. I said, this deal, I got the only one to make. Sorry, I put on a, last week I wrote a, I sent it a Spiro. I put on only because my grandfather, I mean, he wrote a lot of music. I just wanted his tongue when he wrote Shira Hollis. But he jazzed it up a little bit.
Sunday morning, America is a sin cross.
Lots
of America's a sin
cross.
What about it? Is it the
What channel? Channel 2 or channel
4? All right, anytime.
Why?
Biden left Israel.
Well, yeah.
So Biden is going to
Israel. Wait,
he found out. No, he changed everything.
As long as they didn't want to stop. They were honoring it with the Medal of Honor, and they had a singles, a guy and a girl.
Oh, yeah.
He won't touch.
The woman refused to shake hands.
Baruch Hashem, you see that? Didn't you know that in advance?
Huh?
I want to know the background story to that. It certainly told him in advance not to shake anybody. No?
They told him not to shake anybody's hand.
Yeah?
He wasn't supposed to shake anybody's hand.
Right.
So that when he goes to Saudi Arabia, he won't have to shake the hand there for a photo op.
Right.
But the man forgets.
Yes. He doesn't have it. It's just a reaction.
But he was told not to shake any hand.
But he couldn't help it.
So let's say the morning I don't drink at all, and I think I'm going to sit with him and actually say love for the young and you don't confess to me. That's not what I'm going to confess to. I'm sorry, you're right. So in other words, okay.
I have to look into it more. I'll believe that there. If I don't pull you back, it could be there's like a heter. It's not the right thing.
Sure.
It's a kaddish. Okay, Rabbi, so let's learn some chumash. Beautiful parsha this week. We're all beautiful. It's a very eloquent parsha. Mystical.